Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. We've been doing a series on Wednesday nights entitled Guarded by God. And these are intended to be an encouragement from God's Word to us about learning to rest in the care of the Lord in spite of the circumstances that are out of our control. You know, most circumstances that we face in life are completely and totally outside of our control. And how we respond to those make all the difference in the world as far as how God can bless in our lives, how we can get the most out of that. I found this comment by William MacDonald, who is a tremendous expositor of the Word of God. He has a commentary. It's very good. I recommend it. He said this, "Prosperity does very little for us, but adversity produces growth and maturity." Now, there are a lot of people that do not agree with that statement, but it's true. You know, prosperity is nice, but it doesn't do a whole lot for us. We're reaping the results of years of prosperity in America, and it's exposed the softness of our generation. And when adversity comes, I just don't know how people are going to be able to handle themselves, because character is not developed during times of prosperity. Character is developed in times of adversity. And that truth is found throughout the Word of God, but specifically here in Psalm 4, which is entitled a Psalm of the Evening, or an Evening Psalm. And it was written to the chief musician on Neginoth, and I'm assuming that that was some type of a stringed musical instrument. And probably this psalm was played as a solo in the evening time, as an encouragement to rest in the Lord. I want to read this psalm together, and then we're going to take a look tonight at several thoughts from this passage of Scripture. Verse 1, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Now, in the previous psalm, we saw the individual waking up after a good night's rest. That's David. After spending the night on the top of the Mount of Olives, after being run out of Jerusalem by Absalom and his forces, remember I shared with you how that when they got to the top of the mountain, they had a prayer meeting and worship service. And after that was done, the servant of Mephibosheth that had been charged by David to take care of him and the properties of Saul and Jonathan shows up at the top of the mountain, and he has food and clothing and shoes for all those that had been rushed out of Jerusalem. God was just taking care of his servant in spite of the difficulties and circumstances that he was going through. And now, we see basically the next evening. A whole day has passed since he got up, rested from that previous morning, and now he's about to go to bed that night. Has his attitude changed any? Has anything changed during the day that would shake his faith in the Lord? We find here, he says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Now, there's a very simple outline of this passage that I'll give to you. Verses 1 through 3 is simply David's cry. Verses 4 through 5 is David's caution to his enemies. And then finally, in verses 6 through 8, we have David's confidence. And I want to just share a few thoughts with you. First of all, in verse 1, we see the cry of David here. And I want you to listen to J.N. Darby's translation of these words here. "Hear me when I cry, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." J.N. Darby says, "In pressure, you have enlarged me." Now, generally, when we think of pressure being put on something, we think of it shrinking in size because of pressure that's being put. Things are being condensed. But here we see the exact opposite. In the moment of pressure, what is God doing? He is enlarging. At the time when David fled Jerusalem, he had nothing but his family. No time to gather food, no time to go get any money out of the bank, no time to put shoes on. They basically ran for their lives. They had nothing. And what has God done in the midst of having nothing? He sent Mephibosheth's servant to provide them with food, something to ride on, shoes for their feet, clothes for their backs. God takes care of their needs. He is enlarged in the middle of the pressure. Isn't that just like our Lord, to take care of His children in time of trouble? This is such an encouraging psalm, folks, because it teaches us to rely and rest in God. God is not taken by surprise. Do you understand that about your Lord? He's never taken by surprise. Now, we're taken by surprise. We see things happen all the times and we're surprised by it. And we say, well, why did that happen? Or why is this taking place? Or why is America sliding so quickly into Sodom and Gomorrah? And we're taken by surprise, but God never is. And so knowing that truth should drive us to Him. And I said at the outset of this series, my purpose and my desire in this series of messages is to drive you as a person to Jesus Christ, to learn to rest in Him. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the difficulty is, you have got to turn to Him and rest in Him. And as David said, in the midst of this difficulty and his life was being hunted for, as a matter of fact, we're going to learn on Sunday, I'm going to take a little passage out concerning Ahithophel, that he went to Absalom and he said, now remember, Ahithophel was David's most trusted counselor, advisor. He marches himself over to Absalom, says, I'm going to worship and serve thee, Absalom. I tell you what you do. You give me 12,000 men, and I'll find David, and I'll kill him. I'll take care of him for you. We're going to learn on Sunday why he had that attitude. He was one of David's most trusted advisors. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the words that Ahithophel said as he served under David were as oracles of God. His advice was just perfect. And yet he followed after Absalom, and he said to Absalom, give me 12,000 men, and I'll go down and I'll take care of David. I'll destroy him. I'll go up to that mountain and I'll kill him. And yet what does God do? He puts within David a surety that God's going to take care of everything, so that he can indeed, as verse 8 says, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. How many times have you laid down at night and you were not in peace? Ever laid down there and just tossed and turned? And tossed and turned and got up, went and did something for a while, and then came back and laid back down again, and you got all the troubles and the pressures and the sorrows of the day weighing on you. That's not peace, let alone peace leading to what? Sleep and rest. Listen, we've got to learn to trust in God and to cast our cares upon Him. Why? Because He careth for us. Such an important thing. Let's move on. In verse 2, we see, in contrast with the righteous God, David's rebellious friends, those that went against him. And he says this about them, O ye sons of men. What is he saying there? Do these men rise to the level of supernatural beings that can stop us and keep us from doing what's right? No. At best, they're what? They're men. They're men just like we are. You know, it seems like as the days go along, it seems like we've got bigger and bigger and bigger enemies to face. Does it not? It almost seems overwhelming. You see the things that are happening in Washington and the guidelines and rules. Yesterday I went online to download the latest I-9 form. We have new hires that come on in the ministry. They have to fill out all of this paperwork and so forth like that. And I had the old I-9 and I downloaded the new one. It was 2.5 pages longer than the one we had from last year. And I read through all that material, and it's unbelievable. All the stuff that they have to know about us, and all the things you have to put down, and all the forms that you have to fill out, and things of that nature. It's overwhelming. It's oppressive. is what it is. And we look and say, is this the America that I grew up in? I didn't have to fill out that kind of paperwork. I didn't fill out an I-9 form until the mid-90s. They didn't require that kind of stuff. But as government has grown, it gets bigger, and it's a behemoth that breathes down our necks, and we tend to think, well, we'll never be able to overcome that. Wait a minute. At best, they are what? They're men. At best, they are men. There is nothing greater than our Father in heaven. And don't you forget it. There is nothing bigger. There is nothing stronger. There is nothing bolder and greater than your God. And you need to meditate on that, and you need to sleep on it as well. Learning to rest in Him. Can God take care of your problems? Well, I don't like to bother God with the little things. Let me tell you something. A Heavenly Father wants you to go to Him. He can take care of the little things. And by the way, that's how you learn to trust Him in the big things. If you haven't been learning to trust God in the little things of life, when the big things come, what are you going to run to? What you've been trusting in for the little things? Yourself. Well, I can dig out of this. I can get myself out of this situation. No, you can't. You've got to learn to go to your God daily and rest in Him. That's the picture that's given to us here. At best, they're sons of men. How long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing or falsehoods? Is the word that's used there. And then he puts that little word, Selah. Think of that. Just meditate on that. Stop what you're doing and just think about that. By the way, in your own personal Bible study, be careful not to bite off more than you can chew. It's good to study the Bible by paragraphs. Take a paragraph. If you don't have a translation that has the paragraphs, get one. There's several study Bibles that will have it broken down by paragraph, and you can kind of see the thoughts that go in those paragraphs and take them as that bite-sized piece. Don't be rushing ahead and trying to study a huge passages. Get them in bite-sized pieces and then meditate on it. Selah. That's what he's saying to do. Meditate on that. At best, what we think of as behemoths, at best they're men. They're not supernatural. They're just men. Then, verse 3, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. In other words, you and I that know the Lord have a special relationship. God has set us apart unto himself. You know, we grew up and Mom and Dad bought a hutch, put it in the dining room area, and all the special things from the family went inside the hutch, right? There's pictures in there of all the grandkids. And there's some china in there, I think, somewhere in there behind all the pictures and so forth. The special things of the family went in there. So at dinner time, you could look over and see that. And I go over on Tuesdays usually, and I'll eat lunch with Mom and Dad. And from time to time, I'll just go over there and look at the different things. And I'll see some of the old pictures of the family and some of the things we did as kids. And I'll look in there, and I'll see some of the china that goes back to yesteryear and so on. They're special things. And they're put behind glass to keep little fingers on. They're not little fingers anymore. It's big fingers now. But they were put in there to keep the grandkids from touching what they shouldn't touch. But in there are all the pictures of all the grandkids when they were babies. All the baby pictures are in there. You can go in there and see them starting with the oldest and going all the way down through there. And now they're just about all grown. And you know what? There's nothing more special than to know that children and grandchildren are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the greatest burden of a mother and father is to know that they're not. It's a special place to be in God's care, to be set apart, okay? Set apart for God's use and God's shielding and God's protection. Folks, if you know Jesus Christ, you are in a special place. Don't run from God. Don't meditate on it, young people. Don't think about it for a sec that I'm going to run away from God. You better run to God, because there's no one that will ever shield you and protect you other than the Heavenly Father. And yet what do we see today? We see so many people that are running away from God. Their lives are a mess. They're a wreck. I think about that young man that they found, some actor that was making millions of dollars, 31 years of age. They found him dead in a hotel room up in, I think it was British Columbia or somewhere up in that area. And they released the autopsy report yesterday, I think it was. And guess what it was? We could have told you. Drugs and alcohol. Heroin and alcohol. You know what? That young man was trusting in himself. The demons, whatever they were too much for him to face. And so he said, I'll fight these demons with drugs and alcohol. Who won? Who won? Let me tell you something, young people. There is nothing in this world you can run to and find any help. It plays out in the news on a daily basis. These Hollywood actors and actresses, they don't have anything of any value. Oh, they may have millions of dollars. What did it do for this young man? It bought him a hotel room where he could kill himself. That's what it got him. It allowed him to go buy his heroin. His money allowed him to go buy his alcohol and buy a hotel room so he could drink his sorrows away. And here he was, successful. Let me tell you something, young people. There's nothing, and older folks too, because we have some of the same problems when it comes to trusting God. There is nothing in this world of any value that will keep you for eternity. You better run headlong as fast as you can into the arms of Jesus Christ and rest in Him. There's no other place to be. Very quickly, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Stand in awe of whom? The Lord. Jehovah God. You stand in awe of Him and sin not. Commune with your heart upon your bed. Now here's the analogy again. In these two Psalms, we've seen this over and over again. This concept of being able to rest in sleep physically. Having cast your cares of this life onto the Father, you can rest and find strength and comfort in this world now by casting all your care upon the Lord. It's real. You don't need to go and find a prescription bottle to do it. You can find, I know that there are physical problems that some people have that keep them up, and I understand that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people that can't go to sleep at night because they've got all their troubles with them. When they lay down in bed, it's not only them that lays down, it's all their problems of the day and their troubles and their bills and all that stuff just piled on top of them, and they've got it all. What am I going to do? I hate to even get up in the morning. And they are restless because they're not resting. And I'm afraid many times there are Christians in that same category. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. And notice, what's the little word that follows after that? Selah. Meditate on that. Folks, these truths are so important. And we got one more section here, verses 5 through 8, that we're going to get into, Lord willing, in a future time, that teach us the importance of resting in the Lord. And we're not just talking about spiritually. We're talking about gaining the benefit physically in our own physical bodies. Gaining the benefit of resting in the Lord. We don't have to wait till we go to heaven to get rest physically. Now, we can get rest when we cast all of those troubles and all those cares upon the One who can carry the load. We certainly can. We ask God to give us bigger shoulders, but we get tired, do we not? We want God to take those things and handle them, and we got to learn to trust Him. We've got to start thinking of the enemy as being so big we can't face him. We've got to think like David did. He went up against Goliath. He had 5 smooth stones. That doesn't seem like much. I'd like to have had something a little bit better than that, wouldn't you? Go up against Goliath. 5 smooth stones, but God directed that stone to take down the giant, which took down the enemies of Israel, and stopped a month and a half long nonsense of sitting around wondering, what are we going to do? It took a young man that loved God to turn the whole nation around in one afternoon. Isn't that amazing that God could do that? When you love God and you trust in God and you rest in Him, you can be a David and do great things for God. Now, he had his faults and failures, and we all do. But don't you want to be effective for God until the last breath? Don't you want to be used of God? Well, you've got to learn to rest in Him. That way you can be used of Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for the rest that we can have when we rest in Thee. We ask, dear Father, that You would help us to view the enemies of Christianity and the enemies of Christ, to view them as You do, that they are not supernatural. They are at best the sons of men. We have Thee, Father, the great and all-powerful God, to rest in. So, Father, I pray that You'd encourage our hearts. May we learn to rest in Thee and to learn to turn over the cares of life to Thee. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.